So, Pastor Talia, come join me up here. Pastor Talia is the brains behind what I'm going to talk to you about next. I think many people, how do we take our people deeper in discipleship while we are getting busier as a culture, while we have buried systems that, antiquated or not, at least better answered the question of how we were journeying through discipleship. So for us, when you don't have rangers and missionettes, how are you answering the question of intentional discipleship? Because that's an intentional discipleship pathway. Nothing says filled with the Holy Spirit like a square knot. And just kidding. Oh, friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, cellies, and enemies. I'm sorry. What am I even talking about? So what's the intention? If we get rid of Sunday school and we don't have this plan, like, what is the plan? And are we really raising people when we say get in a group and they're going, that's cool, they're in a geeks and games group, and then next year they're in the volleyball group, and then this year they're in the cupcake wars group. And they are dealing with the exact same immaturity they've been dealing with 3 years. But because we want a simple church and because we want to get everybody in groups, we have a nail. It's like what we've done is, because other churches have done it, and then this may be you, because it was us too. We had to backtrack on this. We were basically dealing with people that had flat tires, overheating engines, they had radiators that were going out, and we were providing them jumper cables. Bless God, we got jumper cables. Hey, we're going to do a training if you want to be someone who knows how to do jumper cables, or you want to lead a group of people that are jumper cables. But like, this many people have an issue with their battery. And so you're providing them jumper cables. They got a flat tire in their marriage. So how do we provide layers of next steps without so inundating ourselves with so many things? How do we keep it as clear as possible? How do we, as I said last night, thrash through the complexity and demand a simpler way? So this was a process that took us about 2 full days, 8 hours to 10 hours in the Lufkin room right next door with two whiteboards and post-it notes all over. 90% of that was Talia and myself just doing what nobody else is really doing on that. We had to think it through. And so how we define, let me give you some handlebars on taking someone from the shallow end to a deeper end, okay? Number one, just let me say, there's going to be a bottom. It's not a never-ending abyss. That's what we feel like discipleship becomes. Like, it's this never ending. If you can get them to self-feed and they're swimming with Jesus, so, you know, I'm taking the analogy a little too far, but they're, you know, there's only a depth that you can take them so far. They've got to then engage their own. There's all kinds of models. This is one. This is just one. And this is what we're doing. And guess what? It's a method. And when this method begins to yield results that are not getting us where we need to go, we will kill this method and we will do something different. Okay? But for now, this is what we're doing on our scale. You scale it however works for you, or this may not even work for you. But we consider your God-given potential being our mission. There are layers of what discipleship looks like. A lot of this content is adapted from the book Move. Move. And it talks about the key habits of discipleship pathways. Starts with the movement with people. You know, people are exploring Christ. Before they're even saved, they're investigating. They're the Nicodemus. They're the woman at the well. They're exploring. There is discipleship happening at the well. There's discipleship happening that night on the hillside with Nicodemus. It's just pre-evangelism, it's pre-salvation, and it's people that are exploring Christ. The next level, we want people to move from exploring Christ to growing in Christ. And the key three things we want them growing in: language, Christ-like convictions, conduct, and character. if we can get them with the convictions, conduct, and character of Christ, that's growing. We move from growing. This is where most people stop. They stagnate in educated beyond their obedience. This is where they get the sandy foundation versus the rocky foundation. Remember the parable? The man who built the rock on the sand. What is he saying? People that hear my word and don't do anything is like a contractor who builds a house on sand. But those that hear and do something with it, you build a strong house. Okay, so this goes to closer to Christ. This is more of the doing things. I'm growing. I can start serving even if I'm exploring Christ in certain places that aren't leadership. I get into growing, like I could help hand out s'mores at Christmas. Maybe. Growing Christ, I mean, unless they're whatever, you know, KK and just out of prison. Growing in Christ, I've got to be active. Closer to Christ, I'm catching more of those convictions, more of those conducts. And the closer I get to Christ, the more I look like Christ, the more I sound like Christ, the more I exhibit Christ, and the more I'm not just thinking about my own growth. I'm now starting to turn, and the closer I get to Christ, my God-given potential begins to shift to your God-given potential. See, one of the greatest elements of discipleship is when you say to someone else, your God-given potential is my mission. Then finally, we're looking for Christ-centered people. We're not looking for the smartest people that can win Bible Jeopardy. And training, thank God college doesn't last for 42 years. There's a reason why you can go and get a 2-year degree, a 4-year degree, maybe an 8-year degree. There's a reason you go and train for a job. And there's a reason why the training stops and you like start the job. Now, you might have on the job what? Training, but you have go through a process and now it's like, okay, good job. You're trained up. You got your degree. Now go do it. Go do it. Then along the way, you can grow. You can take that class. You can listen to that webcast. You can do whatever. You can grow in Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct. But our goal is to get to Christ-centered. So what I'm going to show you is on know God. So if you think about taking people that are exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ and Christ-centered, what does the know God piece, experiencing Jesus, what does that look like in a layer from where we start with them to where we want to leave them having gotten the degree and now we're sending them into activity as a Christ-centered individual? What are those layers? That's what I'm going to give you next. Anything you would add to that?
I think something super important that we encountered is we realized we thought we were doing intentional discipleship because we had groups. And what we found is that new Christians and a lot of Christians, even some strong Christians, really don't know what they need to take to grow. They don't really know where they are and where they need to be. And so we did the hard work for them and created a pretty simple system that we trust, if they go through it, will help them become healthy, mature followers of Christ, because your church grows when your people grow. As they stay passionate about Christ and they learn how to self-feed, that continues to feed their hunger. And you guys know this, there's such a ripple effect to that. So what I love about what we've done is it's just everyone throws the word out intentional all the time. But the problem was we did not have an intentional discipleship pathway.
We were intentionally creating anemic workforce.
Yes. So,
we were getting more dream teamers serving at doors, but didn't know what character looks like in their life when it's surrendered to Jesus. And there's only so many sermons you can preach.
And I want to say, and this isn't a knock to any pastors, but not all pastors have like discipleship's not everyone's jam. And that's okay. I think it's important to identify the person on your team who's strong in that and who knows the culture of not just your church, but the community, because we are a church anyone can come to. That's a very unique culture, and it means everyone comes. So we have people who are homosexuals going through Encounter. We just had a Scientologist, an atheist, and a homosexual couple in Encounter. All right. So we had to create a system that spoke to the culture. And I want to say this. It's very important that whoever creates your discipleship pathway or system understands how people grow in Christ, Because it's not just a bunch of random teachings you throw together and hope to God that's the right ingredients that's going to produce a cake at the end. You need to find the people or the curriculum or the church that's created a killer discipleship system that produces healthy, mature followers of Christ in the right way. And there is an order to it. There's a method to the madness. And I feel like we have cracked a code. And we are seeing tremendous results as a result of our discipleship pathways.
When I go back 2 years to where we were 1497, and in 1 year we went to 1800, and then this year moving up over 2000 and into, of course, you launch a campus and you have all these people come at once that boosts your numbers, but now we're averaging this last quarter 2540. To see this, a huge undergirding of that, the nets, you build the nets, like the nets of intentional discipleship was a huge piece in that process. But again, it may be Saul's armor, we're just showing you and you take it. I another great model is the Chi Alpha model. And like taking some ideas from here, taking some ideas of there. What I was being told by conferences of people that were killing it, like the biggest people that you think you want to emulate, and I do, like I do. But we were being told, like, this is the structure they use. You just got to use this structure. And I just had to come to a place where, yeah, but, like, all kinds of people on our teams are getting divorced and having affairs, and they don't know the first thing on how to handle issues in their life. And I know that's how Elevation does it. Man, this is awesome. I'm not responsible for the people that Pastor Stephen Furtick pastors. I am responsible for these people, and you are responsible for those people. And so, like, whatever word, I mean, again, like, chew the meat, spit out the bones. So here's a layer. So we're just thinking this through. So don't be afraid, though, of also having the shallow end and not having the deep end yet. It's okay. People can swim in the shallow end and cool off. Here we go. Community events, stop. Community events into weekend services into salvation is the kiddie pool. It's very simple. Engage people in community events. Show them Jesus. Put some car decals on the back of your car, so many to finally people start saying, what's that logo mean? Right? So just start getting community events, passing out sunglasses at Blueberry Festival. How many people go through Blueberry Festival, Pastor Dan? 14,000. We have how many thousands of sunglasses have we handed out? 14,000. Way too many. More that we've broken the budget. But those are just simple ways we engage the community without, you know, hammering them with the King James Bible. Hey, before you go, take these shades. You know what's going to be bright. It's the flames of hell. You better need those shades. So we want to take them deeper. Salvation. So these are things, I have not said anything you're not already doing. It's just we're identifying the layers. We're just identifying the layers. Water baptism and communion, orders, ordinances. Like, are you inviting your people to have communion even at their home in their quiet time? Like, can that be a practice that's an intentional discipleship layer? Are you saying to people, you may have grown up Catholic and you were baptized as a baby and it's been a long time and you've never really followed, made public, you raised a hand for salvation and God saved you right where you were. But you've never really followed in the footsteps of water baptism. Every second Sunday of the month, we do water baptism. Every second Sunday, we celebrate one of my favorite Sundays all month. The second, of course, I say that. First Sunday, man, it's my favorite Sunday all month starting. Third Sunday, oh, I love third Sunday of the month. But second Sunday is my favorite because of water baptism. That's second Sunday water baptism. So what does that do? It develops a system for everybody. Youth ministry knows baptism second Sunday. Children's ministry knows baptism's second Sunday. You know what else it does? It gives them a heads up. They can invite their friends that will watch them get baptized. It's second Sunday, but it's just a layer of discipleship. Then we invite them into the annual seasons of prayer and fasting in January and in August, Wednesday nights. We don't do groups during that season. We do Wednesday night closer experiences, which are more passionate. I would say it's longer worship. It's more intense. It's a New Testament prayer We're gonna pray down the house. I tell them, if this is new to you, just get comfortable with the level of prayer. We're just gonna fill this room the same way there's something powerful about the football stadium that fills with the sound as the team is about ready to bust through the locker room doors and there's like this surge. When we start praying, I'm gonna ask, and I say things like this. This helps navigate some things that can get out, like just get a little weird sometimes. I say, I'm just gonna ask that. Get loud, but nobody get louder than me. Don't get louder than me. In fact, don't be so loud that everybody can hear you. But let's just hear one another pray. Are you ready? Now we're going to start thanking God for this. Come on, just fill the room, and we fill the room with the. And I say, okay, now right here, let's just lower it down a little bit. Jesus, thank you. And I'm lowering. So what am I doing? The Spirit's flowing, the Spirit's moving, but I'm also trying to steward that in a way that Holy Spirit Haley that has only seen Bethel, that's what we got to do, because if we don't do it the way Bethel did it, you know. Can you just grow your hair out long and make it gray and be Bill Johnson? Like, no, I can't. I got to be me. But I help cultivate that by giving them the heat, but then also, you know. You know what's terrible? I think it was Doc Lee that gave this illustration. A space shuttle with no fuel in it. You can have all kinds of controls, but you don't go anywhere with it. On the flip side, you put the fuel in it. If you don't have any controls, that thing becomes a weapon. You've weaponized the shuttle. It goes through Fort Lauderdale. So you got to have the fuel, but you also have to have some handlebars to like fly the thing. Okay, so. Annual seasons of prayer and fasting, inviting people to do that, getting as many people on that team of annual seasons of prayer and fasting, that's a deeper thing. But really, ultimately, we're moving into groups from then, but groups is a strategy. It's not the all-inclusive. Now, do I have to really have a group to be a part of a weekend service? No, I just come to church. I'm not having to wring my hands and figure out how I get these people doing these things. I'm inviting them. Whether they do it or not is up to them. I'm providing the opportunity. Whether they drink from the water of the well is up to them. But when I don't show them where the water is, then it's up to me. Right. So I just got to make it clear, these are things you can be doing. I'm inviting you to come alongside us. Ultimately, where do we want to end? Self-feeding. I really don't want to leave people just in a group. It's great to have relationships. We need that. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John, but then in James 1 or 3, he says, confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. So we go to God for forgiveness. We go to each other for this accountability and healing and environment of spiritual iron sharpening iron. A sword cannot sharpen itself through the air. It needs other iron, okay? Self-feeding is where we want to land. We don't want to land them in another, you know, grow track 17. We want to land them like, take care of yourself. Quiet time with God. What's Jesus saying to you beyond Grow Track? What's he saying to you yesterday? And I have to model the way. Listen, I went to bed at 3:30. I was up at 6. But I had to have my quiet time this morning. It was shorter than normal. But I had to have my quiet time. Because I got to model this self-feeding. I got to consume the spiritual and leadership calories. And I've not always been good at it, to be honest with you. A lot of benefits being a pastor's kid. I think it was actually I was so involved in church that almost the involvement of church became my discipleship pathway. Because bless God, when the doors are open, we were going to be there. And I missed out. I remember what it sounds like. In fact, even when we go visit at Christmas, I know what it sounds like. It's 6:45 in the morning to hear my dad's muffled voice in the couch pillow. I know what it sounds like. But Dad didn't teach me how to do it. He showed me, but he didn't teach me how to do it. But I look at those moments of, man, I wish I would have leaned in on that, because probably he didn't even really think to teach me that. He just assumed that was something that was going to happen because he did it. So we can't assume self-feeding is going to happen even in your pastors on your team. Right. We're asking them, where are you on that financial budget? We've got to be asking, are you getting closer to Jesus? And I need them to ask me. They need to be asking me that too. Okay? So here's the result. So we've written statements that we expect. If people are going to go into the deeper layers of knowing God, Jesus has become, these are the declarations they're making. Jesus has become the center of my life, and I am taking next steps in passionately pursuing him. I want to get people saying that in their convictions, conduct, and character. If I can just get them passionately pursuing him, taking next steps, I've taken them down an intentional discipleship of knowing God. Everybody with me? Yeah. It's not rocket surgery. That's a joke. Next, find freedom. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In a mad dash, let's hand out these. I wanted to show you how it works. Let's hand out that next steps matrix, mixed Michaela and team. I'm going to show you now. I'm going to give you guys, if you'll lean in right here, I'll give you these next steps, and then I'll show it to you on a matrix that we've created, okay? So listen to me, get the piece of paper, but don't get engulfed with the paper yet, okay? Because I'll walk you through it. But look at this, find freedom. What's the result of layers of freedom? That they would make this declaration. I'm living in freedom every day, walking with the Holy Spirit, connected in meaningful relationships with other believers. I just want to get to the place where they can say that in truth. I mean, memorize 12 scriptures, that's great. But like, you can memorize the scripture and not walk daily in the Holy Spirit. So that's the result we're looking for intentional discipleship. We take freedom all the way from one layer to the next, and that's the result we want to see. Next, discover purpose. What's the result of discovering purpose for their life? What's the qualifying result? What's the declaration we're looking for to say, okay, we did it. Whether they grow now in maturity is up to them, because we have presented them full mature. What they do with that is up to them. That's actually not on us, because we've done our job to present them as fully mature. So here it is, the declaration. I am living with clarity of purpose, guided by Christ-like convictions, conduct, and character. Do you hear how many times I've said conduct, convictions, and character today? Why? Because it's just an easy thing to hang on to, that you get it in the culture. All of a sudden, your dream team starts saying conduct, character, and convictions. And it's just amazing how you know, that's a good conversation we have with those that are same-sex attracted. We start talking about, it would be easier for us to live by our own conducts, conviction, and character. What we're trying to do is, even when it's difficult, are we able to surrender another layer of our lives to his convictions, his conduct, and his character? And the way we get that is not by the way we feel, but it's by what he's already said to us through his word, because his word is living and active, and his word is the moral compass for every decision we make. And that's where we find the conviction, the conduct, and the character. And then the Holy Spirit guides us in that truth. The Holy Spirit guides us because we're walking with him. He's a guide and a counselor, and he's helping us, and he's comforting us through those times where it's difficult to live by his conduct, character, and convictions. All right, make a difference. What's the layer there? What's the final result? I'm empowered by the Spirit. This to me, why were we given the Holy Spirit? We all know it, to have goosebumps and loud services, right? We were given the Holy Spirit to be bold witnesses, telling people everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be empowered to take the gospel forward. To look beyond ourselves. To be filled with the Spirit. To have the fruit of the Spirit. To be trees that people get close, they pluck our fruit, and they go, that tastes good. I like what they're doing. I like them. What is it about you? You're just different, Heath. But the empowerment of the Spirit is to make a difference with the gospel in the world. And so I'm empowered by the Spirit, fulfilling my God-given potential. Then we've added this other piece, because we not only want to lead them in their spiritual growth, but we want to have a track for leadership and stewardship. And so the result of leadership and stewardship is very simple. Guess what happens? We turn it. They become responsible for discipleship. They say to their people, your God-given potential is my mission. Not just the church's mission. This is my mission in life. Do you know what I'm called to be as a dad? You know what I say to my daughter? Your God-given potential is my mission. I'm not just trying to teach you how to, you know, not get pregnant on a date. Your God-given potential is my mission. Dear God, we got to teach our parents and our dads especially to be able to have something more to say than things like, oh, I hope you got your shotgun ready. We got to train up our ladies in our homes that their God-given potential is our mission. Because their God-given potential is our mission, we don't want to see anything sideline their God-given or detour them. Now, God can turn a plan C into a plan A again. I mean, look at Solomon, a baby that never should have been born from a marriage that never should have been had, from sex that was way outside of marriage, then got married, then they had. It was a whole thing, and yet Solomon is in the line of Jesus? Boy, that's encouraging. God makes awesome, like, stuff out of plan C, you know? All right, I'm sorry. That's multipliers, okay? So now when you look at this, everybody got one? Yes. So you can see in the layer, let's go to the top, and it says find freedom. So what's the exploring Christ? Just the atmosphere of church on Sunday morning. Corporate, we call it CPFL. Corporate care, prayer, feeding, and leading. I just don't feel like I'm getting fed. If you come to church, you're getting fed. Put the fork in your mouth. Care, prayer, feeding, and leading. Is there a way that you're going to be able to provide prayer on Sunday? Is there able, you're providing feeding? How about leading? How about care? Red carpet is part of the intentional discipleship pathway of caring. We have to develop our people. You know what would be a game changer in your red carpet? Not, let's be at our door on time. That's a duh. But here's the goal for today, everybody. Here's the goal. Call people, five people by name that you don't know their name. Get their name, and then after service, find them and say, Michael, did you have a good service today?
Yes, sir.
Good. It was great to meet you today. Game changer. What is it? I don't have to build a group and give you group training. I've developed you just in that moment. If you'll just take it and just say somebody's name for crying out loud, that is a layer. It's a very simple, shallow pool, the kiddie pool layer. But let's be intentional with the kiddie pool, right? Okay. Let's look at care, prayer, feed, lead into conferences and seminars. We go deeper into encounter. That's part of our find freedom. Into groups, into group leaders. Here's how we divide our groups. Social groups, study groups, and support groups. Social groups, study groups, support groups. Grief share, support group. Geeks and games, social group. Going through the book of James, study group. Talking about the pastor's message over lasagna, study group. Study, social, support. Within those, you can have support group for women. You can have support group for divorce. You can have a support group for marriages that are on a brink. They need a little bit different. They need a tire fix, they don't need jumper cables, okay? So there's a social, it's just marriages get together and they just hang out and they do whatever. They do potluck at their house. Can I also tell you something that would be a hack for everybody here? Just take off the stress of having to put everybody in a living room in a home. Just put them around tables wherever tables are. You are not like sinning if people come to your church and get around tables. And we're living in more of a culture these days that people are not as open for any, like, to put their name on your website and their address to their home. You know how many people in our churches have been sexually violated and molested? And you're wanting them to take a leap of faith to put your on a website that anybody could just come and be in your home? Now, I know that's extreme, but stop thinking like a pastor. Start thinking like, you know, Claire, who's grown up with an alcoholic father and molested by her uncle, and she's found freedom, and she's discovering purpose, and she went through encounter, but now you're wanting her to invite people she doesn't know into her home? How much more safe would she be if she was on this campus around this table? She'd be a firecracker here, but there's just something that she still needs to work through with that. I'm just giving you. Are we talking? Yeah. Are we communicating? The power of tables, coffee tables, dining room tables, classroom tables. I know it's not sexy to say classes. We don't even use that vernacular. We use groups. But I can tell you, we do classes around here. We call them groups, but they're classes incognito. All right? It's just classes because someone's talking to them. Someone's teaching them. And there's still relationship, but we don't do tables without a table host. So we do a table. Tell us about table host.
So table host, just real short, you know, old term, lay pastors. So they pray, care, feed, lead for the people in their group, on their table. Their table's their group, and they have a system of what we call ACF, assimilation, care, and follow-up. For more information on that in the breakout session, we're going to have one for ministries, adult ministries, where they can break that down for you step by step. But it is the secret ingredient to our sauce, is the table host.
Some of the life hacks we've learned on table hosts and training for that. Do 45-minute training at lunches. Just do a lunch during the day and provide lunch. It's a worthy investment. And have them come. Now, we're in a smaller town. When you're in Mansfield and people having to drive 45 minutes, that's Saul's armor for you, maybe. But something that we were having with Dan's dream team, his staff over at the Nacogdoches location is primarily volunteer-based. So it was really hard getting people around a table. Well, everybody's getting to a table and getting on Skype, and they're having their Skype meeting, and they're talking, and they're eye to eye, and they're sharing, and it's amazing how, like, we're already FaceTiming people, we're already talking about. I mean, actually, we're not even talking on the phone. It's just like, what's that? You know, I'm too tired to do anything but an emoji. Anyway, so we got to get people around tables, around computer screens, if that's what it takes. So whatever works for you. Another thing is stack. Somebody said, pace and burnout. Stack your dominoes on Sunday. I'm telling you, people would rather give you more hours on a Sunday than give you 1 hour on a Tuesday and 2 hours on a Thursday and the third Wednesday of the month. Stack your Sundays. So do training. Like, if you can't catch everybody, stop thinking you're going to catch everybody with this one training we're going to do for groups. Do the training all month long, at lunch, after service, all month, the exact same training. If you didn't catch it last week, we've got it again this week. I mean, it's not like you're producing new content. I mean, it's going to cost you more in food. But you know, feed them, get them in, and do 4 weeks straight in a row. Boom, boom, boom. If you didn't make it, we want you. We got group training. If you said, it was a little leery, but now you went and you think you missed it, guess what? We got it. Fourth Sunday of the month. Man, my favorite Sunday. We've got training. And you get them in there. Something we're starting this next year in 2020, we're going to try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We're going to call them Get Better Lunches. Get Better Lunches. We're doing four in the first semester. We're taking the summer off. We're doing four in the fall semester. And it's a Get Better Lunch that's going to have focuses on leadership, parenting, and marriage. And we're going to promote it. It'll be the first Sunday of the month. It'll be in this room. It's first come, first serve. And it's $8 a person. But hey, we're doing a Get Better Lunch first Sunday of the month. This one's all about parenting in a digital age. So next week, if you're interested in that, $8 Outback. We got to deal with Outback. $8, sign up. You can text right there on the app. I'm in. We'll get your number. See, I'm not just saying stick the landing for the staff. I'm going to use different vernacular than stick the landing. Here's what I'm saying. This year is the year we're going to get better. We're going to be better. We're going to be better families. We're going to be better husbands. We're going to be better wives. We're going to be better Christ followers. And you know what? If we can become better Christ followers, we become better husbands. If we become better husbands, we got better marriages. We have better marriages. We have better families. We have better families. We have better neighborhoods. We have better neighborhoods. We have better communities. We have better communities. We have better schools. We have better schools. We have better leaders. We have better leaders. We have better politics. Dear God. If we have better politics, we got a better nation. If we got a better nation, we can change the world. So it all starts with this. Let's get better lunch. Okay? Let's go to the next one. I'm reading for you, but discover purpose. This is really, I would say, the bread and butter of the moving from anemic to vitality in our people. We start with weekend services, but everybody, your next step, what group can I get in? There is no other group we promote other than Starting Point. Starting Point's your first step. It's the top of the funnel. We'll help you find a group through Starting Point. We promote things, and Starting Point is 4 weeks, and can you guess what the four key things are in Starting Point? Week one is No God, and we'll give you a little taste of what No God is all about. We break down. We're a little different than the growth track. We're a little different because we're not Church of the Highlands. we're a little different, but we say, hey, here's how you know. What's the difference between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know how many Christians have been Christians 25 years could not articulate the difference between a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or because we are in denim skirt country out here, Sephora would not survive. Too many United Pentecostals out here. They do not wear that. Like, it is heavy United Pentecostals. You know how many people coming in here, Jesus only? So guess what? That was an obstacle for people getting baptized. Their families would ridicule them because you're not saved in the United Pentecostal unless they say in Jesus' name when they baptize you. Like, you're saying to me, I won't go to heaven if the guy that while I'm underwater, I didn't even hear what he said, but because he didn't say in Jesus' name, I'm not saved? Yes. That's the doctrine. So you know what we do? We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. What does it matter to me to add in Jesus' name? It means everything to them around the Thanksgiving dinner table. It means nothing to me. It doesn't change anything. I haven't violated the Trinity. I just add in Jesus' name to it. And I have given them a handlebar to face unbelievable critics in their home that are Pharisees. Hey, I'm going to have something to say today. Okay. So then from starting point, we want to have like a next steps concierge feel to starting point. So those table hosts are beyond hosts. They're like concierge that are helping them take next steps. So they're hearing through those 4 weeks. And within that 4 weeks, they're trying to invite them to coffee at Standpipe. They're trying to have them over at their house. Remember the thing I said when I talked about the girl who you were having a problem with seat covers, and I said that, you know, what all that stuff? Yeah. That was the result of a table host in Encounter. Mm-hmm. She met a girl she'd never met before in Encounter who had such a hard life. And now she's at somebody's table and then at another table. That's enough group for me. I said something to somebody yesterday at Nacogdoches. We are so convinced that we've got to give everybody maximum strength Tylenol. When really, just one Tylenol would do it. But that's what the church does. We build 6-lane super mixer programs, and then we're frustrated because we got 3 cars on the program, and we can't manage it because it's too big. We can't even afford to keep the potholes filled in. But we're afraid. It doesn't sound as attractive, or it doesn't sound as, mature or whatever. We're afraid of simplicity for some reason on that. And so we start with one lane and we grow it. What I was saying is, give people groups, but don't force them to meet every week if they don't want to meet every week. Like, here's the deal. Is someone connected to your church because they attend a group every week? Or is someone connected to your church because when you ask them, are you connected to the church, they say yes or no? If they say yes, stop trying to give them maximum strength systems when it only takes this much to connect them. But have a strategy for those that need to take next steps to go a little bit deeper. Do you see how I could use this as a play like Bill Belichick on why did I even use that example? I can use this as a play call. One-page strategy where I sit down. What's your name? Matt. I sit down with Matt. I say, Matt, tell me about what you're thinking on your next steps. You start talking about next steps, and I say, well, let me ask you a couple of questions. You've obviously asked Jesus to be the center of your life, right? What about water baptism? You haven't gotten baptized. Let's sign up for baptism. Let's do that. Are you in a group yet? Okay. That's okay. Hey, self-feeding, do you have a Bible? Cool. All right. If he says, Matt says, I've just got so many regrets. I'm just carrying a lot of guilt from some stuff. Hey, you know what? I know you could go do all these other groups. It's up to you. You got to go to Encounter. Matt doesn't have the maturity yet to even know what he wants to do. He's attracted to geeks and games, but he needs Encounter because I'm not after his geeks and games. I'm after his God-given potential. I'm not after his interest alone. Interest groups are fine. But I'm not after him just feeling interested. I'm after his God-given potential. So guess what? His group in Geeks and Games, all they have to do is this. It's a simple one we learned, ESPN. Encourage them, offer a scripture, pray together, and ask about next steps. ESPN. That's like Geeks and Games, encourage one another. Scripture, pray, and just say, hey, any next steps you're needing to take? Duh. If they say, no, I'm good, what are you going to do? You think God's going to hold you responsible for somebody that won't drink the water? But he will hold us responsible for not at least creating environments. He will hold us responsible for not casting the nets out into the deep. Please.
So something that was really important is we made this, right now you're seeing under the glass, remember? So it's very complex. So we've gotten to where it's very simple. It's the church sees the front of the iPhone. You guys are seeing behind the glass right now. Okay. But having...
Hey, everybody. Yeah. Pull out this thing and
you're right. But having said that, each piece of our next steps process is very intentional. And so after starting point, they have, this is the 4-week process and starting point, we have a next steps coordinator. This is very important. All of our table hosts ask several key questions to help make sure people who are finishing starting point are taking the right next steps.
Go ahead. So every first time guest of the church gets funneled through starting point.
Yes.
If they want.
It's three
absolutely.
Rivers, three rivers. First times, so newcomers, okay. New believers,
yeah.
And new Dream Team prospects. You can't serve on a Dream Team unless you go through starting point.
Okay.
So they get through starting point, and then you kind of assimilate them.
Through starting point.
Yes, and now and at the beginning, we let them, we would give them next steps on a sheet of paper, and we would let them just kind of figure it out. Right. And what we found out, number one, we didn't have the right next steps available. It was just groups, and they needed more. But then we needed someone who was the master of the front of the glass and behind as a coordinator, who knows the map well and who knows how to identify their potential and how to match their potential with the right next opportunity.
And if I put on
and
a
that's
paper
key.
In front of an 11-year-old as far as spiritual maturity, brush your teeth, play Fortnite, hang out in your room, they're going to pick the one that they're most attracted to
right.
Versus really the one they need to do, and it's brush teeth, because if you smell my son's breath...
Well,
the table host helps.
They help facilitate that conversation, but then all of those forms get turned into our next steps coordinator, and Bonnie is her name, and she then takes that, and her job is to make sure people continually take next steps. We take next steps. It's one of our values here. And so it's not enough just to get through starting point. It's because their God-given potential is our mission. So what she does is she makes sure that after starting point, they take the right next step. So you've got Weirdo Joe, who wants to be a table host in starting point, but she knows he's weird and needs some deliverance. And so she's recommending, I would suggest grow track one for some discipleship, but encounter, like, you know, encounter gets all, go to encounter. But encounter's not just for weird people, it's for people who need breakthroughs. But then through that, she also makes sure that even as they go through starting point and now they're in grow track, well, what happens after they finish grow track?
So
grow track one, we want to make sure they're continually making and taking
next steps.
Yes.
They're not just all necessarily taking them in the same order.
Absolutely not.
Right.
No, you can't take grow track two before you take grow
right.
track one.
We say it like this, Whitney. Right. We say your next step is as unique as you are, is what we say. Correct.
No, everybody's made, like, we're all unique in the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
We're thumbs, and we're, but we want everybody to look the same when it comes to discipleship.
Right.
Let's let God kind of figure that out. Let me say this on that. Golly, it must be time for lunch. It's almost 2 minutes and we're done. I will say, what was I going to say? What were you just talking about? Groups. Helping people. Oh. So scalability. You're thinking right now, well, it'd be nice if I had someone dedicated to a next steps coordinator in my level. Like, I don't have that next steps coordinator. What else? I'm going to have to add that to my responsibility. Can I tell you something? You got to start choosing what's going to be most important. Can I be honest with you? The time it takes to send form letters to first, second, and third time guests, if you got rid of that, but you spent time following up with the people that have self-identified their starting point, that they want to be a part of the church,
right.
And you spent more time personally with them, that is going to go leaps and bounds further than you spending 4 hours every Monday filtering through first-time, second-time, third-time guest letters. Now, I'm not saying don't do it,
right.
But I'm saying Don't do letters that guests don't even care about because they know it's a form letter. They know it. And they're probably, you know what? Most of your guests aren't even filling out your Connect card. Because if they won't fill it, if they won't fill out the thing to win a Jeep in the mall, they don't even know you. You're not doing it. Are you going and filling out stuff and giving your information anywhere? You're not going to church and filling out a bunch of information the first time you see this pastor say, hey, would you fill it? Would you do us a favor and give you my personal information? No, thank you. I'm doing you a favor by not golfing today and by not mowing my lawn. I'm doing you a favor by being here. So this is something when we give you all the resources. So what you see here, Grow Track 1, Grow Track 2, Grow Track 3, we've given you the manuals, the teacher's manual and the fill in the blank every week is in there. We've given you the encounter manual, the encounter training. We'll give that to you at the end. Also, everybody has this in their packet. There's one per church, okay? This is called the Next Steps Wheel. And it's an easy tool that we use, that we have used in the lobby. And basically, just to show you, it's got, this is the glass of the iPhone. This is what we use. So, hey, your first steps, so they say, I'm new here, whatever. Jesus is calling you saying it's time for lunch. It simply says four things here. You're here. You made it. Next, Connect card. Tell us more about you. Welcome to church party. Meet new friends at Timber Creek. Starting point. Discover your next steps here. Those are very, to me, unintimidating options that they don't have to do at all. Or when they're ready to self-identify, we're ready for them. So maybe they're past that and they want to know God. Weekend services, keep coming. Follow Jesus. Make Jesus the center of your life. Water baptism, go public with your faith. Self-feeding. Practice the healthy habit of consistent prayer and Bible reading. This is what we do to help you know God here. Well, do you guys don't do Sunday school? That's not a program we do, but we do what Sunday school is meant to do. We get people together and we help them become more like Jesus. Find freedom. Prayer and care. Be encouraged by receiving personal prayer and care today. Conferences and seminars. Events designed to equip and connect you. Groups, connect with friends while discussing the Bible. Encounter, learn to walk in freedom every day. Then you have discover purpose, starting point, begin your journey of growing and making a difference. Grow Track 1, develop deeper discipleship habits. So Grow Track 1 is all about deeper discipleship habits. Grow Track 2 is live the Christ-centered life. Whole lot of generosity talk in there, whole lot of giving away, whole lot of seeing beyond yourself. Grow Track 3, you can't go to Grow Track 3. You're not allowed to go to Grow Track 3 unless you are serving on a team and will agree to either be a table host or a group leader. Because if you're not doing that, you're just getting information. Like, let's go deeper. So that's where the proof is in the pudding. Get to work. Let's go. Let's activate. Let's not be hearers. Let's be doers. So Grow Track 3. That's where the rubber meets the road. You're going, and so what happens is we start seeing people that have been here for years. All of a sudden they're serving in new places because they love the discipleship, but they're also seeing, I'm not meant just to get fat. I'm actually meant to give all this away, which Grow Track 3 is learn to give my life away for the kingdom of God. Isn't that really what all discipleship ultimately, we're living for your God-given potential. Finally, make a difference. Invite Fran to church. Practice generosity. Dream teams, local and global mission. And then we have this in faith, Kaleo Leadership College. We have not instituted that, but we put it on the plan because we wanted to be bold in our faith and say, this is something we're starting. It's another way we want to keep them young. Chick-fil-A is so great, regardless of what the recent Facebook stuff is on today. But if you don't look now, but like Chick-fil-A is ran by teenagers. We talk about how great their servants their service is. It's teenagers and grandmas. That's it. It's teenagers, pimply teenagers. So if Chick-fil-A can develop an unbelievable organization with teens, Why aren't we doing the same at our church? Listen, do not underestimate the value of an 18-year-old in your church. There's gold in them there hills. And I know maybe you only got young people to work with. Well, look at them as incredible. They're a Mary, they're a Joseph. They have got incredible potential in there. And you got to call it out when everybody else in culture is saying, oh, those Gen Ys, oh, those millennials, oh, those. You're going to call out the potential that God sees because their God-given potential is your mission. At least that's how we say it around here. Lunch is at 12:30. We've got 30 minutes to simply follow. We're going to walk the campus and do a loop, and by the time we get back here, we are going to have lunch set up.